forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon, he will. Mountains and hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands, for he will. Turn to the Lord. Return to the Lord.
Exhort and share with you this evening with regard to prayer, a very important ministry, and I have a title for our teaching today, and I'm calling this Watchfulness and Prayer Go Hand in Hand. Watchfulness and Prayer Go Hand in Hand. And we get the idea of this from the Lord himself. And turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at Matthew 26, and I'm basing our teaching this evening from verse 41, and here the Lord, coming back after praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says to them, finding them sleeping, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is always a big problem in the house of God. This is so often what we battle with regard to prayer. And we'll just lead into this to familiarize ourselves from verse 36. I'll read this out. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them sleeping again, and their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and he said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. There's a tremendous amount here that we can really glean, but it's also a great warning. And we note in the context, he uses the word to watch. And he says, then he came to his disciples, verse 40, he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He didn't say to Peter, could you not come with me and pray, as I'm going to pray? He uses the word watch. He then uses it again, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so there's an emphasis on watch. And that's why I'm calling our teaching today, watchfulness and prayer go hand in hand. Now, this word watch, which he uses here, it really means to have strict attention. It means to take heed. Take heed unless some calamity suddenly overtakes you. And of course, that is what happened. We know that the disciples fled. Peter betrayed the Lord, and he already warned him beforehand that he would do that. So it was a sudden calamity that overtook them, and they ran away in fear. And that is always the weakness when one is not watchful and in prayer. You will find when things suddenly happen, you will run away. And you run away because you're not watching and praying. Because if you pray and you're interceding as the Spirit leads, then what accompanies that praying is a watchfulness. And watchfulness can also be a discerning the times, being sensitive and open. This watchfulness can be seeing the enemy, what he's up to, and so on. But we'll look at that later on. We also get an understanding of the importance of being watchful in the book of Revelation, to the seven churches. We know this, of course, well. But turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. That is the warning to the church at Sardis. We know that the church at Sardis was fundamentally dead. And the reason it was dead, because they were not watchful. And they were not strengthening things which remained. Can one get the idea that they were not really praying? They were not really taking prayer seriously? Hence the downfall, the weakness, they had become dead. Let's look also in verses 16 and verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Jesus also refers to this watchfulness. Behold, I'm coming as a thief in the night. So that is the way Jesus is coming. We know that is how he's coming first to the church, to rapture the church, to take her away to himself. And we're told he comes like a thief in the night. But those who are in prayer, those who are watchful, will be ready, alert. Because that is the nature of what prayer does. And not only does it make you watchful and alert, but it keeps your garments pure and spotless. And this is why Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." And we at times really fall short of this. And we do it because we become sleepy. And the reason we become sleepy is because we're not taking it seriously. We're not really listening to what the Lord is saying. I believe the bride can only make herself ready, and indeed she is making herself ready, because she prays, she intercedes, she is watchful, she is discerning, she's discerning the times, the seasons, she's preparing herself, seeing that the Lord is coming soon. We hear this many, many times in our teachings. But brothers and sisters, you can listen to these teachings and tapes until it's coming out of your ears. Unless it accompanies prayer, it will not do the work. That is why faith comes by hearing the word. And faith will appropriate what is needed to be watchful. And to be watchful, it requires prayer, both individually and corporately. You see, we see in the context of what we've read here back in Matthew 26, that Jesus is asking for company, for support. He's wanting the disciples with him at that time, a very human thing. He's wanting them to join with him, because where two or three are gathered together in prayer, there's more power in agreement. And we note that the support he gets is he has to go and wake them out of sleep. But you know what? They still don't get it. And after he says it, he goes back, they fall asleep again. And he comes back to them and wakes them up again. And they only fall off to sleep again. Why? Because they don't get it. Brothers and sisters, Do you get it? That is the question. But you know, in his love and grace and mercy, he doesn't rebuke them. But let's sleep on. And that is why he prayed for Peter that his faith would fail not. With regard to Peter and the other disciples, what was getting in the way? Flesh. Pride. Pride had to be dealt with Peter. Peter had to be broken. And God has to sometimes break us in which we start to become watchful. And we're found in prayer. Because it is so important. The church has got to be watchful and in prayer in these closing days if she is to stand and overcome. Because we know the powers of darkness is getting darker and darker. And many Christians, sadly, are burying their heads in the sand like these ostriches, hoping that it will go away. But it doesn't. But you know, the good news is that the humble see this. Those that have their knees bowed before God see the importance of prayer. And not only do they see the importance of prayer, but they are faithful with regard to prayer. The Lord was looking for faithfulness with the disciples. He's not going to be much longer with them. In his human flesh, he's wanting that support, that encouragement. And he wasn't to be found. You see, prayer and watchfulness is absolutely paramount for the overcomer. Because it will keep you committed. It keeps you faithful. It causes you to stay with it, even when the trials get hard, even when you don't understand what's happening, what's the Lord doing, why am I going through this, why is it taking so long, I don't understand anymore. All of these things that we raise in our mind and thinking so often. But if you are a man or woman who is a prayer, and that prayer which is causing you to be watchful, to be discerning, then it enables, it strengthens you to be faithful, to be committed. And not only that, but you are of great use in God's hands. A man or woman who is a prayer, both individually and corporately with brothers and sisters, is of great use in the hands of God. To be of prayer, you value the gift or gifts that are given to you. And you use that gift, and that gift is multiplied. You're not hiding that gift because you've fallen out with God, or you see that God is harsh. Or he's not answering my prayers. It's not going how I like. It's so easy to bury your talent and not glorify God with it. And the reason many do that is because they are not faithful in prayer and watchfulness. They've taken their eyes off the ball. And all too often they begin to look to themselves. Self-pity. Poor me. Why me? The devil is so clever at this. So being watchful takes your eyes off yourself and your eyes being busy on what God wants you to watch and to be mindful of and to be able to pray about. You see, when you are watchful, you know what to pray because the Holy Spirit is showing you. He's encouraging you, empowering you to pray, to intercede, to supplicate. So the two go hand in hand. You know, I know some Christians, and years ago I used to go to a prayer group, and sometimes, you know, you just had your list come out, and others would say, well, what else should we pray about, or whatever it was, and, you know, it was so dry, it was so barren. I know those sort of prayer meetings, and the reason being is because they're not watching and praying. Because the two go together. And when you're watching, you will find there is a huge amount to pray. Because God is showing you, he's giving you that spiritual eyesight. He's burdening you to pray, to intercede, whether it's individually or corporately. That is why watchfulness and prayer go hand in hand. And if you're not watchful, then your prayers often will simply be centered around yourself, your problems, your needs, and so on. And sadly, so many pray that way. But we know the Holy Spirit has come, baptizing us, presenting the cross to deliver us from ourselves, so that we can become kingdom-minded and start to pray the things that pertain to the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can only pray that when you are watchful with prayer. You see, this kind of prayer that we're talking about delivers us from not just seeing right, but it delivers us from this sleepiness, this procrastination. Because to be watchful means you are watching out. You are watching out for the enemy. It is revealing that you take spiritual warfare very seriously. And that you are found faithful in warfare, coming against the powers of darkness, which Ephesians 6 tells us that we are to do. It names clearly what we are up against and what we war against. Powers, principalities, dominions, demons. And we are sometimes to address them and name them. And bind them. For Jesus said, whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosened on earth is loosened in heaven. He's given the church the power to do this, brothers and sisters. And we will begin to see the enemy put to flight. This is why the devil hates Christians that start to pray like this. Because it's breaking, dividing his hold, his kingdom, which is soon to come to an end. This is why God has shown many, many times that why the church, the overcomers, are still here on the earth. We hold back the enemy. We hold back until we're taken away, and then, to put it bluntly, hell will be let loose for a season. And that is when we will not be around then at that time. But until then, your prayers prevail before the throne of grace. Our prayers have prevailed before God in this nation. And that is why we're coming out of the EU, for that reason. because saints have got into warfare. And God is going to give this nation a one last chance. It will not be long, it will be for a season. But there is something God is going to do. And in order to do it, he's got to separate us from Babel. Because that's what the EU is. It's a spiritual Babel. It's control. It's witchcraft. And that is why the Holy Spirit has had us for years to war, to intercede against that witchcraft, that control, that lie. Now, we have to move with the Holy Spirit. We have to move in accordance to what he's doing. You've got to keep your mind out of it, but God knows what he's doing. And so here we are, finding ourselves, coming away, and isn't the devil fighting? My goodness me, the confusion, the upheaval. We've never seen it before in politics. But why? Why are we seeing this? Let's go to the spiritual. Take your eyes off parliament. Take your eyes off politicians. Look above. There is spiritual warfare going on. And those demons are in utter confusion. Why? Because the sword of the Spirit has come down, severing this nation from Europe. And a lot of that has come about, brothers and sisters, because saints have got into warfare. They have not only been praying, but have been watchful. And in that discernment, being watchful, God has given certain insight what he's doing and will do. That is the watchfulness. So when you have that, when you are watching, when you are seeing what the Spirit is saying, then that gives you the encouragement, the inspiration, the determination to carry on in spiritual warfare until you see the mighty hand of God work in the way that he does. So this watchfulness is so, so important to inspire us and encourage us with regard to prayer. Prayer isn't always groping around in the dark, hoping it might happen. That is not how Jesus prayed. Jesus knew in his ministry that his Father was with him. He knew that his Father had heard him. We know that with the raising of Lazarus, the shortest prayer ever prayed, "Father, I thank you you've heard me. Lazarus, come forth." He knew. How did he know? Because he was watchful in his ministry. He was seeing spiritually the hand of God working. But how many of us are experiencing this? And we're not experiencing it because we're found sleeping. Depression, unbelief, lack of insight, lack of zeal, all of these things will bring you into that malaise, that depression. But we have to rise up above it. And we have to listen to what the Spirit is saying. Because watchfulness means you are watching out. You're watching out for the enemy. You are discerning the signs and the times. You've become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What an insult it is to the Holy Spirit, who's come baptizing us to lead, to take over as the comforter, and we turn our backs on him with regard to prayer and watchfulness. That is also his ministry. There is so much God wants to show us and encourage us in these last days. And he will. and you will begin to see more and more your prayers being answered. You will begin to see the enemy put to flight. There is so much we can war against the powers of darkness. You say to me, well, why, brother, is this so important? Why so much? It's quite simple, because at the moment, Satan is the god of this world. That's why. But he's going to be put down. The Lord Jesus is coming to triumph. And we can already start to implement that because of the victory that Christ won at Calvary. And therefore he has given us his name, his blood, in which to overcome the powers of darkness. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. It is time, brothers and sisters, to wake up to this. It is time that this church takes prayer seriously. And there is great power when we pray together. Sometimes we have prayed through the night, interceding, praying. And yet, it's so easy to fall asleep. As what was happening here. One of the greatest events, the very thing that would encourage and help Jesus in his flesh, his disciples, just to be with him, to comfort him, just to be in prayer. He's about to go to the cross, and where are they? Asleep. I think, sadly, we all of us can put our name there. What we have done. But you see, an overcomer will do something about that. An overcomer will not let the enemy triumph in this. There is still so much, as I come to a close now, there is still so much to experience with regard to prayer. We're just scratching the surface. It is the greatest ministry as Christians we can have. We think witness is a great ministry, and it is. We think being a teacher or a pastor or a prophet is a great ministry, and indeed it is. Praying for the sick, casting out demons, is a great ministry, and indeed it is. And I could go on, but the greatest, I believe, is this prayer. Prayer, intercession, because everybody in the body of Christ is involved with this. It's not given out as gifts, like the gifts of the Spirit are, as God starts to place them into your heart so that you seek him about them. No, this gift is for all of us. And God expects us to use this gift. The power of prayer. And that is why he said, my house is a house of prayer. He didn't say my house is a house of teaching, or a house of gathering, or a house of Christians coming together. He said it's a house of prayer. Because with prayer, everything else will function. Everything that may be lacking will be strengthened. Whatever is needed to encourage the house of God will come as a result of prayer and watchfulness. And so often that includes the body in praying. So the question that I leave us this evening is, are you going to be sleepy, carry on sleeping, or are you going to wake up and be watchful? Because if you're praying and you're watchful, then you will overcome. And you will not be taken by surprise. You won't be overcome by the enemy. You will be alert. You'll be attentive. Because Jesus said otherwise, take heed, unless some calamity suddenly overtake you. And sadly, we've seen too many of our brothers and sisters where suddenly a calamity has taken over. And 9 times out of 10, the reason being is because they were not a person of prayer and watchfulness. That is often the case when believers go back or apostatize or whatever it is. In my years of ministry, in counseling, I have always gone to that very thing and asked them, well, what is your prayer life? Are you praying? Well, no, I don't pray as much as I used to, or the only time I pray now is when I go to church. You won't survive with that, sadly. We have to go into our closet daily and meet the Lord and wait on him as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, and also praying with your brothers and sisters. So, watchfulness and prayer go hand in hand. Heavenly Father, you have taught us today something very, very important in the house of God. Forgive us, Lord, that we have fallen short in this, that we, like the disciples, you found us sleeping. And not only once, but a lot of times. Oh, Father, help us to wake out of sleep, to be men and women of prayer, so that you can show us, you can cause us to be watchful, which will reveal to us what we're to pray and how to pray, that we will begin to see the enemy and how he's trying to work. And not only that, but you will cause us to experience the whole armor of God. You will show us what we're warring against, taking authority over it. Oh, Father, I pray that we would be faithful in this. We would not let you down. We will be your faithful saints, your overcomers, Lord. I pray that you will do this in your loving grace and mercy. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon night.